Score Choral Composition Club and for the Music Production Club at UBC. You can find us on Instagram, CampusBase, or Discord. We group our members into groups so that they can make music in 4 months, and then we play this show to honor their creation. So yeah, stay tuned, enjoy the intro theme, and yeah.
It's a set, baby! You know we bring the tunes. Yeah. Oh damn. A key change for my composers and my producers and my people. I love you. SSN, a C4 NPC collaboration. Join today.
Okay, that was our intro song. So we're just going to go in order of SSN submissions. First up, we have The Log by Cameron Chambers, Thomas Gao, Jordan Creech. They've got a special message for us. This one took a while. We're very proud of it, though. Thomas is an insanely awesome and talented instrumentalist and producer. He has the unique ability to capture specific abstract feelings communicated to him by others and make them come out of a guitar. Jordan is an incredible pianist and played an essential role in making the song what it is. We're extremely lucky to have the time with her that we did. Lastly, we have Cameron. When he wasn't singing poorly, he was whining the whole time. I'm sure he did more than whine. Let's listen to The Log by Cameron Chambers.
A ripple through my knees, a tightly walled off sea. Sulfur stains the breeze, just breathe in the air with me. sun's never stopping.
Oh my gosh. I'm in tears, guys. That was beautiful. That was The Log by Cameron Chambers, Thomas Gow, and Jordan Creech. All right, next up, we've got Maybe Call Her Back by Young Subby, produced by yours truly. Follow Young Subby on Instagram at Young Subby and on SoundCloud at Young Subby. That's YUNGSUBI. Young Subby's everywhere, so find Young Subby. This is Maybe Call Her Back. Wow. I mean, that's beautiful. Young Subby's melodies are just earworms. I'm going to be humming that all day. Okay, so one of the main reasons we're rerunning the show is so that we can air this next song, Grace by Pulse. We recorded an interview with the artists to learn more about the meaning behind the song and the songwriting process in general. So before we play the song, here's Pulse.
Hi, I'm Amin.
Hi, I'm Chloe.
Hi, I'm Kano.
And we are
Holes.
I am the producer of the song.
I am a producer of the song as well.
And you are?
I am a vocalist of the song.
So, Pulse, can you tell us about your songwriting process for Grace?
Initial idea was a few like words inspired by Kano. Yeah. And we're trying to find a proper sound, a specific plucky stuff for this chorus, and we find out it actually works really well. And then we just continue with that.
Yeah, matter of fact, the initial name of the song was Neutral, because Kano, when she came out with the chords, we heard them first and we really liked them, but we didn't think we would go much with it. So we just called it Neutral because it was one of the neutral projects out of all of them. It ended up being the one that we stuck with, and especially that we tried to really create not only a song, but rather a story where the character is going through feelings and emotions, and instrumental really reflects that change. For the vocals part, I'll probably leave it to Kano.
I think most of the part, made the lyrics, and then...
With the help of ChatGPT.
Yeah. And three of us made some change to it, and then, completed it.
What is it talking about?
Well, lyrics is about the unrequited love. No, because you made the lyrics, so you can talk about it.
I was thinking, rather, you can talk about the way you sang. But in terms of lyrics, there is no clear structure. We don't really have... Well, you might call it a verse and a chorus and whatnot, but we didn't really want to stick to those kind of traditional ways of making a song, because the needs of the song specifically require kind of more of a poem where the character is talking about their feelings as they're going through it. But we forgot to mention that it's a breakup song, because we pick up where the character is going through a breakup and they just realize that they no longer are in love with the person that they were. Except as the song progresses, we get a peek inside their kind of personality and we realize that they're really still in love, and that this entire kind of cover that they're creating around themselves is just a shield against those negative emotions that might come up with a breakup.
I wanted to ask for this story, where did that come from?
Yeah, I wrote the theme for another project, but we realized that we prefer go on the current one, so not the other ones. I don't know why I got the breakup songs, but...
It's a theme.
It's a theme.
That you could feel the emotion flow really well at the music progress, and the first half of the song is almost poetic, and it's also related to the arrangement, the instrument we picked, and you could feel the emotional flows as the song gets more intensive at the later half.
We tried to create something that dabbles in a bunch of different genres. So we're having a lo-fi beginning where it's chill, then it goes a little bit R&B with those little acoustic drums. But then also we tried to make a shift and reach somewhere more orchestral towards the end.
Thanks, guys. That was very insightful. We're very eager to hear your song now. So if you guys could just be quiet while we play Grace by, what was the name? Pulse.
I'm lost in a thousand, lost in a thousand.
Let's go. Okay. That was stunning. What a journey of a song. Those chords are very interesting. Okay, we're going to take a quick ad break and then be back with more interview right after these messages. These are actually ads for our clubs. So, yeah, stay tuned for just 2 minutes.
Students of UBC, join us. Join the SSN. A collaboration between the C4 Choral Composition Club and the Music Production Club. With us, you can find someone with whom to collaborate, someone with whom to make music. All skill levels welcome. ssn@gmail.com. Reach out. Together, we can make music. Join us.
Are you a UBC student? Looking for an approachable way to meet people and make friends? You should join the SSN.
SSN, baby!
Join the Song Starters Network today and get access to free samples, one-on-one songwriting/production help, and the wonderful members of the Music Production Club and C4 Choral Composition Club
to collaborate.
You can join through either of the mentioned UBC clubs or contact us at ssn.ubc@gmail.com.
Okay, we are back. Those were ads produced by the MPC and the C4 Choral Composition Club. So now that we are back, what are we doing next?
We're going to interview Pulse, who is definitely in the room with us.
Yes,
right now.
Pulse, you're in the room. Hey, guys. Hey. Okay, next, yeah, we've got more interview content from Pulse, and then, yeah, enjoy.
So how did you get into making music?
As for me, I don't make music, so just for singing. I always liked music from my childhood, and I don't think that I was practicing for singing. Like, I just like to sing, so that's my hobby. I often go to karaoke when I'm in Japan. Yeah, that's why I come to like music and also singing.
What gravitated you towards, how about I join the SSN, you know, have a group and make our own song?
Because I had never had any like musical project like this, so I wanted to experience, and just I wanted to work with other people and take advantage of this opportunity to receive help of others.
I just really like listening to music in the first place. So when I was in like middle school, primary school, I used to listen to different genres of music, but I didn't realize that. So in my middle school, I really liked a producer called FKJ. He definitely impacted me so much because all the instrument he picked sounds unrealistic. I just wonder, oh, how did he made it? Until high school, there was a producer called Choi Boy, and I read his article about him. It's like, okay, this producer Choi Boy, he's doing his music fully on digital stuff. I was thinking, oh, that's so cool. So I downloaded Fruity Loop. But like, I didn't really speak English that well, and I don't really recognize all those buttons or stuff. I tried a few pieces of production, but yeah, I didn't really have much time on it. When I entered university, second year or third year, I got my first Mac, and I downloaded Logic. So that's when everything started. Folks go for Logic, and I'm not saying Fruity Loop is bad, but yeah, Logic.
I was like in a period when I was a really kid where I just wanted to kind of do stuff with internet. Everyone, like YouTube was becoming a thing, and people were just either editing or releasing music or type beats or doing all sorts of stuff. So I always just wanted to download a software and do something with it. But I didn't have money. So one of the free softwares at the time was GarageBand. And turns out it was a music making software. And I played around a bit with that. And I really, really liked it and realized that there is a whole way of expressing yourself that goes beyond just words, where you're just putting stuff together, but you're creating a vibe that perhaps reflects how you're feeling at a certain moment. So I kind of just went with that for like a bunch of years, I'd say maybe 6-7 years, until I joined university. And I got my first Mac as well in my third year. And I was like, well, maybe it's time to get Logic because I already worked with GarageBand for so long before. And so I did. And it's been going great, honestly. When you switch from GarageBand to Logic, you just realize that this entire time you've been having a 2D experience in a 3D world. So honestly, started making music just to make type beats, but now we're here.
Thank you. Okay, so do you have any musical community with you, Pulse?
I went to the piano lesson in my childhood, but I did not like it, so I was not practicing seriously, and I regret that.
Yeah, I have exactly the same story with Kano. Mm-hmm. My mom sent me to like a piano tutorial when I was in primary school, when I was 6 years old. I was like, oh, I'm not learning it. It's like painful, but yeah, I really wish I had like concerts to learn piano because yeah, later on when I was in high school, okay, I would think, if I'm gonna do music production, I need to learn an instrument. But I didn't start so because I feel like, oh, it's too late. Until university, I realized, okay, if you don't start right now, you'll start even later on. So just start it right now.
No, I feel like there's this thing where you pick up your hobbies as a kid, as you're growing up, because that's when you have the most time. When you're in high school, as soon as you're done with school, you're going back home and doing nothing pretty much. So I would honestly agree with you guys, because the older you get, the less time you have. So if I could go back and give an advice to myself, it's like, practice more, because this is the best time to actually develop skills that might really be helpful on the long term. But on top of that, you guys both had the opportunity to learn music, like chords. If I can go back, I would advise myself to go and learn how music works. I feel like my first introduction to music was through music itself. Like I'm just listening to other people play. And then I'm like, oh, I'll make that again. But there's a whole different perspective on that when you're playing music.
Did you ever find a musical community, or did you have like friends who did music, or was it just kind of something you did on your own?
In my case, no. Growing up, mostly I was like, my parents always pushed me to do sports. But I realized pretty early on that I was not a sports guy. And so music was for me the equivalent of, you know, sports for other people, where it's just a hobby that I'm doing because it's something that I draw my fun out of. There wasn't really a community around, but honestly, the biggest support is YouTube right now, and probably every other website that really gives advice. So
yeah, I actually do have a few friends who are doing music. So when I was back in China, like 2 years ago, I worked in a music company. I would say that's an awesome company. And the only two friends I know who did music production was like so talented. I don't have access to any community though. Probably music production club is the only community I've involved in. When I was back in China, it's probably like more like a personal connection. Yeah.
In my case, I joined the choir club in my high school. So that was the community I have related to music. And I will join the graduated students organization of that club activity when I'm back into Japan. And I will still continue to do some choir.
Do you have any like other music club?
I think the choir club in the high school is the only community that I had access to. In my childhood, I had a piano lesson. So yeah, there were friends. Like it was a group lessons. And also in this exchange term, I was a part of the choir. So it was a great opportunity too. I have a few friends doing jam sessions with. And yeah, it was friends from the choir club C4 in UBC. And it was so much fun. And that was my first time doing jam session. Like I had never heard of jam session in Japan.
Again, I'm...
I don't know why you just started talking there. I didn't even ask the question. Okay, so what is it like working as a group versus solo?
Really grateful to work with you guys because I feel like the work that we were able to give here was really nice.
Same. It's actually the first time I work with a project with actual talented vocal.
Because
all my previous soundtracks are like there's something missing, which is good vocal. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you for saying that.
It's true. Every time we were like recording something and she sings it, everyone else is listening. I'm like, whoa, dude, that was great.
Exactly.
Except if it's offbeat. But but for us of it is like, no, yeah, again, it's really great to work with someone that knows how to sing and that's able to add something to the song instead of you trying to take those vocals and add elements to it and it becomes almost like an instrument. It's like the person, they're bringing their own vocals that they're able to go on top of it.
So you just told me it took 4 months to make this song.
It's actually, we didn't really spend like, so much hours on this song because, school goes on. And
it's mostly scheduling issues.
Yeah.
We weren't able to meet every week, and every time we meet about 2 hours or 3 hours at a time every 2 to 3 weeks. So if we really put it back to back, it's probably we worked on the song for 2 days at most. Given the entire process, a duration of 4 months is not necessarily just because of the song, but also because you're trying to do a bunch of other stuff on the side while still enjoying this process. Because if you force yourself to make a song, then you'll just try to finish it as quick as possible. You kind of lose a bit of a sense of what you're doing and why you're doing it. So surely it took 4 months, but I really needed that period.
Yeah, and I kind of prefer this kind of timeline because every section you've done, you could have more time to look back, you have time to discuss, and you have like space for improvement for certain parts.
One thing I love is also working in a band or a team. I never did that before.
Same.
And when you get like in a position where a bunch of people are bringing these thoughts to the same song that you're working on, you know that you'll probably be able to make something good, but these people are making stuff great.
You were kind of getting at like the solo versus collaborative process. Did you feel that it was different to work with other people?
In my case, yes. Again, it goes back to how other people will bring ideas that you probably will never come up with. And not only that, there is different versions of this song. There was the initial version that we kind of worked all on, but then I had Aman overlook it, and they added a lot of effects and they added a lot of parts and stuff, and it just sounded so much better in a way where I was thinking to myself, if I spent probably a year with this beat, I'll probably won't come up with this because it's not my thoughts, it's someone else's thoughts, and this is what they see here. And it's really cool to work in a team like that.
I think like one thing about joining a group is not because everybody has to be so talented or something. It's more like we are adding our own stuff. It just adds more flavor. Because when you're doing solo, it's more like you could struggle with small errors or something that you feel something is missing, but no one kind of leads you to another direction.
But yeah, you're a vocalist.
Yeah.
So what does it feel like to work with people?
It was a very good experience for me, and I had never done this solo stuff. It is difficult because of the schedule, but except for that, it's a fun thing. And I think I could never have this song without these guys' efforts. So yeah, it was very good.
Oh, I too love working with people. What are your guys' hopes for the future?
I want to be the best. No.
She gave that one.
That should have a beep on it. The current kind of music market is very competitive and requires a very big skill set. There was this rapper that I was listening to, and literally he was bragging that he knows how to beat make, produce, and help other people. I'm like, well, if I want to make something similar, I gotta learn those skills first. Except I'm struggling learning my degree, so probably learning extra stuff, I don't know about now. So hopefully in the future, probably keep music as a hobby, try to learn new genres, try to learn new techniques. Hopefully just have fun. Whatever I make or do, hopefully just have fun through it all and have music always be fun to make. If I can meet Kendrick Lamar, that would be great.
Of course, why not?
For me, also, the music is just a hobby, so I'm not interested in making my stuff public or something. I just hope I will enjoy music as a hobby for a long time, hobby as a lifetime.
For music production, there's a lot of different road you could pick. There's actual pop music production studio or game music, cinematic. You could be a rapper. There's too many selling mode on this market, and they are like so differently priced. I've talked to the gaming cinematic producer, and what he's doing right now is receiving requests and produce for certain requirement and needs rather than producing something that he's interested. I don't know if that's appropriate for me.
If I may add one little thing, I really agree with the fact that if you're making a career in music, you're not going to make stuff that you like. It's contracts, it's people that are needing music for certain settings. Sometimes you might even find yourself working on a song that you don't really like anything about it because the chords are not sounding right or anything, but that's what the situation asks for. So there's definitely a difference between having a hobby and working on it professionally.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah. So I would say I'll probably just keep doing it and see how it goes.
Fair enough. What are your thoughts on AI music?
People ruin things. Let's be real. Music was inherently something that only humans did, and it's what we found almost value for ourselves. And, you know, it's the universal language. You're making something that sounds good, even if you go on the other side of the world, there's definitely people that will vibe to that. If you're given the tool, that tool to AI, meaning that you're making it automatic, so you don't really need to have a person behind it, so there's no more thoughts, feelings behind it, then it ceases being a language, because, you know, it's just a bunch of codes. It's not someone talking that language. It's just AI generated. So I don't know. I'm not looking at it with the best eye, but you guys might have a different opinion.
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of the biggest trends in the next few years, because I don't know like how those AI labs and music company are doing so far, but I don't think it grants us a creation. It's a tool that would respond to ideas. I would say for musicians or producers, there's already a lot of technology involved elements in their like production. If you look at those plugins, VSTs, does a lot of AI-related stuff. It generates chords, automates the wave of a certain sound. I would say it definitely helped producer a lot. Probably in the future, maybe you could just type a few words and something like Serum would directly generate this kind of sound for you.
I'm interested in how the law will regulate AI-produced music. I have not yet researched it thoroughly, so I'm not sure like what would it be, but I want to keep gathering information for that.
I just wanted to add something because she brought up a good point. The thing with AI, the main issue right now that might arise in the next few years is saturation. The moment that everyone starts being able to create music, then everyone will create music that's tailored to themselves and releasing it for everyone. So we'll just reach a point where the market has so much music that it's very hard for someone to stick out of it because everyone is making such great music. And you know, like when you go to Midjourney now or the other one, DALL-E or all these tools, you know, they're only getting better and better by the day. And eventually we'll reach a point where actually the paintings that come out of those softwares might even be put in museums and stuff because they're so good. But then what about the real artists that actually dedicate their life to actually perfecting that craft and making their stuff? They're probably not even going to have a spot because it's already being taken by what an AI made in 2 minutes. Again, we were talking about how there was this recent Drake song that came out and like he actually raps so well on it. And then there is The Weeknd on it. And there's even like one of the biggest producers tags on the thing, like Metro Boomin. But it's all AI generated. And the thing got like millions of listens and no one realized it until way later. We're still at the beginning, so we're still able to realize what is AI and what isn't, but there's definitely going to be a point where we won't. And it might be looked at from a negative perspective, but also from a positive perspective in the sense of high competition leads to innovation. So eventually we might reach a whole new sound where people are creating music in a whole different way than what we perceive today as musically correct, because then AI would be perfect at that, and we'll need to create something that AI is not good at. Whether it's positive or negative, there's definitely going to be a change.
Interesting stuff. I should let all our listeners know that this entire show is also AI generated, so nothing is real. I'm messing with you guys. We've got a few ads and then we're gonna go back to the songs. It's just like 40 seconds and we've got a lot more great songs for you guys, so stay tuned. Enjoy these ads.
MRG Live presents Rum Gold and Teyon Gibbs live at the Biltmore Cabaret on May 2nd. Tickets are available at admitone.com and available at the door.
Everyone at VAMS understands the challenges of having a disability in an able-bodied world. Since 1988, the Vancouver Adapted Music Society has supported musicians with disabilities on their journeys. Check out Reimagine Radio on YouTube to learn more about our diverse community. To stay up to date with us, subscribe to the channel and drop a like to show some support.
All right, and back to the show we are. Next up, we have got Spaceworm by Noreen Unruhy and Ben, with a special thanks to Adam for mastering and giving feedback. They are collectively known as Pasta Nova. Here is Spaceworm.
I'll fall asleep just waiting, hand on my phone. If you were just me, I can work a miracle. So please trust me, make me on the backbone. He can't ignore me, hurt me, I'm bracing for the cold. It won't be long, I'll turn around, I'll stay whatever.
Oh my gosh, what a beautiful song, and what a surprise. Pasta Nova has joined us in the studio today. Hey guys!
Hi!
Oh my gosh, Pasta Nova. Okay, so we've got a few questions for you guys. How did you all start making music?
My parents made me take guitar lessons, and I hated it.
How old are you?
Me too.
I don't remember, but then I stopped for about 4 or 5 years. We had a digital piano and an acoustic guitar just sitting around the house. At some point, I just started messing around on them. Started recording little things on my phone and in GarageBand, and decided I actually really liked making music. And from that point on, I just got more and more into it. Took a few lessons here and there, but it was very patchy. Just kind of started trying to learn as much as I could about it from different places, different aspects of music, different instruments, and mainly just making things in GarageBand on my iPad. It's an extremely underrated piece of software. It's actually really powerful. I guess also just watching YouTube tutorials and things.
For sure.
Joined my school band, and then when COVID hit, then I had no more bands or anything, so I just focused even more on my own solo projects and things, learning production. Eventually arrived at UBC and found clubs like the UBC Music Production Club. From then on, I've just been doing all sorts of collaboration.
When you said that your parents made you do guitar and you hated it, that resonated with me, man. Because I used to do piano. My parents would force me to do piano. And it was really just to build a skill. It wasn't really for passion. And so I think around grade 10 or so, I basically stopped playing the piano to focus on school. In the summer of grade 12, I decided to pick up piano back again. I got into jazz and all that stuff.
Nice.
And I really started to play piano for passion instead of for like a result on a test. And my thing that helped me the most was finding artists that I really enjoy to listen to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And just kind of like taking reference from them, like, oh, I really like this melody that they played here, or I really like that sound that they created there. How would I be able to create that in my own time? And so I would play around with synthesizers and mess around with the EQ and stuff. And basically, you would just kind of create small things that you would really like and build your vocabulary from there.
Yeah.
Sound effects are a vocabulary. Rhythms, harmony, they're all vocabulary.
Do you ever learn songs by ear and things?
Oh, exactly. Learning songs by ear is a great way to like get the muscle memory on certain licks through. Yeah.
Definitely, like, absorbing all that musical vocabulary is so important. That's one of the biggest things for me that's kind of caused me to grow musically is just discovering more music. When I first got a Spotify subscription and started listening to just anything I could find instead of whatever was on my dad's iPod, everything just opened up.
I know, right? My YouTube recommended, it's just half random songs that I've been...
As it should be.
I've been, like, looking into. Different genres, for sure, are always fun to poke around through.
I was in band in middle school. I played the clarinet, which feels embarrassing to admit now. I feel like it's one of the less cool instruments.
I played the clarinet, too. Okay.
That's very cool.
I think it would have been sick if I had learned the tuba, because I'm like 5 feet, so it would just be amazing. But in grade 9, my band teacher encouraged me to do the talent show, and so I didn't really know how to play piano that well back then, but I found this like 4-chord song where it was like a medley of different pop songs that used 4 chords. So I made kind of my own version of it, and I did a duet with my friend at the talent show. And afterward, my band teacher told me that I had like a talent for arranging.
Ooh.
And she gave me her university music theory and arranging, like harmony textbooks.
Wow. Because that's quite the step up.
Right? Because I told her that like I wanted to learn more about chords and stuff. And so she gave that to me, which I'm so grateful for. I didn't understand a lick of it. I read so many pages of it. I was like 14. I was way in over my head. But I think just having someone like tell me that I was good at arranging like made me want to try it. After that, I started taking piano lessons in high school, and then I used that knowledge to just start like trying to write songs. I also uploaded covers to my Instagram, which I always deleted like 2 days after because I would listen to it and be like, God, I hate my voice.
But, I feel that.
Yeah. And I also made like a lot of weird things in Audacity. That was my version of like your iPad GarageBand where I would be
my
like...
My brother did that too. Yeah.
I'd be like telling my friends like, oh, Audacity is so cool. You can do so many things with it. And then in university, I joined C4, and that really pushed me a lot to improve my arranging skills and also my singing skills.
I see. Wow, that's interesting, guys. By the way, great outfits today.
Thank you.
Okay. So how did you all balance student life/work and making music?
Just take it easy. Like, ideas shouldn't be forced. So I don't think you should spend like hours a day trying to produce music. I do it as a hobby. And so I just kind of do things whenever I have ideas, whenever there's a necessary, like I'm composing for a game soundtrack or something. And yeah, it's really not a thing I do every single day. And so I think that helps with school music production balance because I can just keep it as a hobby and not as a job or as something I'm going into.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Same thing for me. I don't really want to do music as a professional thing because then it would lose all the joy of it for me, I think. It's always been kind of an escape from parts of my life that are a lot more stressful.
Yeah, so music production is more like an escape from school rather than something that should conflict with school, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah, joining a club also helps. I found that with C4.
And you get the social aspect of it, too.
And there's the accountability as well.
Yeah.
Like, it forces you to do music every week, so you kind of have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am currently working, and I was a student. I, for some reason, feel like I had more time to do music when I was a student. I think it's just because you have more control over your schedule on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. Whereas in work, like, there's a certain amount of your day that's dedicated to work. But joining this helped a lot because I was forced to work on it every week.
Yeah, with the time pressure, it's definitely meant that we've ended up working on it quite a bit and quite regularly.
Yeah.
And I think I also found ways to bake working on music organically into my schedule, like singing in the shower
or
like when I'm walking around, like trying to come up with ideas, or if I'm on the bus, I'll pull up my phone and start writing down lyrics that come to me.
So. Exactly. It's a spontaneous thing.
Yeah.
And that's one great way to improve a lot of aspects of music. It's not necessarily about putting in a large amount of time every day. It's putting it in some time every day. And in fact, as far as I know, it's better to do a small amount of practice every day than doing a large amount of practice just once or twice a week.
Yeah.
So things like singing in the shower, writing down lyrics, things like that really help you improve a lot more than you'd expect.
So sometimes the universe blesses me with an idea in my dreams. I wake up and I'm like, I have to write this down. So I don't know where that comes from, but thank you, whoever did that.
Whenever that happens for me, it's always something I've accidentally copied, unfortunately.
I don't think mine have been yet, but that does scare me a bit.
Is that where the sleepwalking lyric comes from?
No, that was from the Modest Mouse song that I'm referencing. Yeah. But there was a song I composed for C4 where the melody came to me in a dream.
Wow, that's crazy. Okay, well, thanks, guys, for joining us in the booth. See ya. Bye, Pastor Nova. Bye-bye. I gotta come clean, guys. These are recorded interviews. We've been leading you on. Okay, so we are now gonna move on to Comet by Louis Chen, Kimberly Hu, and those are the only two people who made this song. This is Comet.
Saw my bonds reaching end. Heard them falsely say I wasn't where I've been. Lose the tears I'm holding in. And I fold into myself to make a place that I can hide. Feel a
Honestly, let's go. Yeah. Beautiful, stunning, amazing, fantastic. Okay, next up, we have got Better Than This by Arslan Bek Zapirov and Louis Chen. No message this time. So here is Better Than This.
My sunrise is dark. The sunlight is hidden. I'm searching for ghosts, but got too lost inside the mist. I'm chasing dreams in light of my heroes, until you see the light is scattered on the ground. My goal turns to plastic, love, hatred, it's strong now, it's fragile. Connections, erase them away. How can I love? How can I live when I'm all alone going through this? If there's somebody, then I could resist. Wish I could be better than this, better than this. I'm not blindfolded, but I cannot see. I can see the path of who I wanna be. My happiness, something imposed onto me. While looking for honey, I'm stung by the bees. And my hope turns to madness. Love, hatred, it's strong now, it's fragile. Connections, I throw them away. How can I love? How can I live when I'm all alone going through this? If there's somebody that I could resist, wish I could be better than this, better than this. Oh, no. Better than this, better than this. Just know that I'm better.
Okay, y'all, that was beautiful and stunning and amazing. Okay, and we're done with the SSN submissions for this term, so everyone listening, please give a round of applause to the marvelous, talented, awesome, cool members of the MPC and the C4 Choral Composition Club. And also, unfortunately, that's our show, folks. Thank you for tuning in, as always. Stay creative. Once again, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We've got one more song left for you guys. This is Superstar. This song was arranged by Angie and sung by the talented members of the C4 Choral Composition Club. So enjoy Superstar. Oh, and next up after this song plays is The Real World. So stay tuned for that if you're a film buff. And yeah, have a nice life, folks. We'll be right back.
voice in here. That's how we survive.